Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our message series is called Real Answers About Heaven, and we have been learning from the Bible what heaven will be like. We have looked at so many topics over the past several weeks. But one thing we haven't spent a lot of time talking about yet is what will we do in heaven? We know it's going to be good, but what will we do actually in heaven? Some people think heaven will be a boring place, but heaven will be far from boring. It will be exciting, in fact, and full of action and activity. Heaven is not just an eternal life. It is eternal living. Think of your best days here on earth and the sweetest moments and days you spend with your loved ones or with your favorite people. I promised it will be at least 10 million times better. All right. I'm not exaggerating. You will worship. You will fellowship. You will serve. You will work. Even rule. And enjoy all the good things of God's new heaven and new earth in your new resurrection body, which will be specially designed to take advantage of all that has to offer. Heaven is going to be an amazing place. We are not just going to be sitting around playing a harp or a piano or a cello or a violin or a ukulele or a guitar throughout all eternity. Although that's a good thing. Okay? But there's plenty more to do. So let us talk about it. So what will we do in heaven? First and foremost, we will worship. You will know that, okay, even before I say it. We read in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was," what, 10,000 times 10,000? Whoa, can you get that number? All right. "And 10,000s of thousands, and thousands of thousands," okay? "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever," which is Christ Jesus. Or again in Revelation chapter 7, in verse 9 to 10. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the robes, and saw and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Okay, we see that heaven is first and foremost a place of worship. We learned earlier in our series that there is seen to be no more temple in heaven, because all of heaven is the temple. More on that in just a minute. I'll talk about that a little bit more later. All of heaven is filled with the glory and presence of God, and we will worship Him there in the beauty of His holiness. The very first question of the Westminster Confession of Faith, short the Catechism, asks, what is the chief end of man? And we all know the answer. The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are designed to give glory to God through worship. It's what we were made to do. And God deserves all worship, honor, power, and glory. And only worshiping Him makes us complete, our purpose fulfilled, and our hearts satisfied. Therefore, people without Christ in their lives will naturally be depressed and dissatisfied with their lives, no matter how much money and wealth they accumulate. Notice in Revelation chapter 5, one of the predominant phrases in worship was the words, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." Now, much of our worship in heaven will revolve around Christ, what He has done for us at the cross. He should be the center of our worship, past, by the way, present as well, now, and forevermore in eternity. So past, present, and future. So don't lose focus, my brothers and sisters in Christ, whenever we come to church to worship. All right? Our focus should be placed on the person of Jesus Christ, because He alone deserves all the worship. We shall come to church and pay homage to Him. Jonathan Edwards writes, "And when the souls of the saints leave their bodies when they die to go to be with Christ, they behold the marvelous glory of that great work of His, the work of redemption, and the glorious way of salvation by Him, which the angels desire to look upon, or look into." So, what will we do in heaven? First of all, we will worship. We will give honor, power, and glory to Christ. And only through worshiping Him makes us complete, our purpose fulfilled, and our hearts satisfied. So, we must well do it now. Get used to it. Okay? Second, we will surely be fellowshipping. Alright? Now, Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 23 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Now, this is about heaven, okay? "And to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." We have discussed this in our message, the Great Reunion, right? I think last week or a week before. So we won't be going into details on this again. But basically, when we get to heaven, we will get to meet different types of citizens of heaven, and or different types or kinds of heavenly beings, namely angels. They will be Old Testament believers and New Testament believers and different kinds of angels. And of course, the triune God will be there. And you will see Jesus in the flesh. Yes, I mean you will see Him in human form with His nail prints and pierced marks on the side. And as we will be perfected in Christ, there will be no more sin or hiding to disrupt our fellowship with one another or with each other. I like what David Jeremiah says about heaven. I quote, "In heaven, we will have fellowship like never before." Imagine having the unlimited opportunity to fellowship with God or with people from all ages of history, even people we have only read about in books in the Bible. We will also be able to know and fellowship with our Lord in a way that we cannot possibly comprehend. Our Savior will be our personal friend, and we will fellowship with Him forever and ever. Wow, how exciting is that? So what will we do in heaven? First of all, we will worship. And second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. This may come as a surprise to some of you, right? We read in Revelation 7:15, it says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him, and day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." And again, Revelation 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." Who are His servants? We are. Okay? Now, God is not only worthy of your worship, He is also worthy to be served right now and then throughout eternity. And if we are to serve God in heaven, then that must mean that God has tasks prepared for us. Right? Something to do, right? Now, again, I will ask the question, will there be a temple? That's my question. All right. Some scholars say, yes, the temple will be there for memorial purpose, just like when we partake the Lord's Supper. We remember in retrospect of what Christ has done for us in the past. Likewise, the temple will either be there during the millennial kingdom, if you believe in the millennial kingdom, or on the new earth, or both, millennial kingdom and a new earth. Right? And we shall be serving Him in the temple as part of our routine duties, because we all be priests. Then again, we have mentioned Revelation chapter 21. It seems to suggest that there will be no more temple, right? As just now we read that passage, right? There will be no more temple because God, the Almighty, the Lamb are the temple, right? You remember that passage. Good memory. Or perhaps, third possible scenario is then, there will be one physical temple, but we all be spiritual temples of God, all right? I guess we just need to wait and see what happens, right? Okay. Whatever it is, we will be provided with opportunities to serve the Lord. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now I know, we usually apply this verse to the good works that God has prepared for us to do right here, right now on earth, after we are saved. And that is true. You should apply this verse, right, in that way. But we should not lose sight of the fact that God has also prepared good works for us to do in heaven and on the new earth. Okay? Everybody serves someone. Now, whom do you serve right now? Your congregation is a pastor, your boss, your parents, your children, your teachers, or your students, if you are a teacher. Well, no matter whom you serve right now, get ready for a promotion, okay? You are going to be serving the God of heaven, the King of this universe. Whom you serve affects how you serve, and those who serve God will serve him gladly. So, what will we do in heaven? First of all, we will worship. Second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Now, and then next point is somewhat related to the previous point. We will serve. That is, we will work. Right? If serving comes as a surprise to you, you will probably be even more surprised to hear that we will be working in heaven. Whether you believe in the millennial kingdom or not, I believe we are about to discuss, apply to both scenarios. Okay? Both scenario, whether you believe in the millennial kingdom and then the new heaven and new earth, or no millennial kingdom, just new heaven and new earth. This applies to both scenario. Okay? Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your work is not over when you leave this world. And that is a good thing, because we were created to work and to find fulfillment in our work. Remember, in the book of Genesis, God commanded us to work, or Adam and Eve to work. And it came before what? The curse of sin. So work is not a curse. Okay? Oh, I'm cursed. I have to work so hard. No. Work is not a curse, contrary to what many people believe. It is a blessing to be able to work. In fact, it is universally true that people get depressed if they don't work for a certain period of time. Right? I know right now, we don't always enjoy working or studying. Right? Because studying is just like working. Right? Because of sin, God has placed a curse on work and turn it into toil and labor. And for those who are students, it is your studies, okay? God has placed a curse on our work and our studies. What do we mean by that? We have to deal with it. And they are so-called thorns and thistles, right? Work and study do not come easy for us. Because of thorns and thistles, we simply work and study in an imperfect world, sinful world, dealing with sinful people. But one day, everything is going to be different. That is, if you are in Christ Jesus, right, there will be difference. Right? If you're not, then, you know, you go somewhere else. We read this about the new heavens and new earth in Isaiah 65, verse 21 to 23. Verse 21 of Isaiah 65 says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them." Now, this is not on earth, okay? This is a new earth. "And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are seed, and they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord." And also in Isaiah 65, verse 23 says, "We will no longer," what? "Labor in vain." There will be no more thorns and thistles. And what you do will be meaningful. Whatever you do, it will be meaningful. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says, "And there shall be no more curse." The Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." You see, God's work may be completed in you when Christ returns, but that does not mean your work is done. When you get to heaven, your real work has just begun. For the first time in your life, you will be truly complete. It's like graduating from the uni or from TAFE with all the knowledge and skills that you need to start your new life. All right? And our new life in new heaven and new earth is to work for God. And he will assign tasks for you. Author N.T. Wright writes in this book, Surprised by Hope, I quote, There will be work to do, and we shall relish doing it. All the skills and talents we have put to God's service in this present life. All the skills that you learn in this present life is going to be put to use in the next life. Right? And perhaps, too, the interest and liking we gave up because they conflicted with our vocation will be enhanced and enabled and given back to us to be exercised to His glory. Amen to that. And who look forward to working in heaven? I am. So what will we do in heaven? First of all, we will worship. Second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. And fourth, we will work. And fifth, we will rule. What will we do in heaven? We will worship and fellowship, serve and work, and we will also rule. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 about the first man and women. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Men and women were originally created and designed, what? Not only to work, but to rule and to reign over the old earth. In heaven, we will rule and reign with Christ over the new heaven and new earth. How do we know? Because Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my house, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in this throne. And also, there are many passages. I'm going to read you a few more. Revelation 5:10 says about believer, And hast made us, our God, kings and priests, and we shall, what? Reign on the earth. And another passage, Revelation chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, And they shall see his face, his name shall be in their foreheads, and they shall be no more, and there'll be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, that means that you will have new responsibilities in heaven. And as we saw last week, when we talked about judgment and eternal rewards, some of those responsibilities will be a direct result of how you have served God here in this life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 says, He's the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, if these are all symbolic, why does the Bible have so many references about us reigning with Him one day? We have to take that literally. And so heaven will be a place of amazing place and with new activities, plenty of activities. We will not just be up there again in the clouds playing the harps or musical instruments throughout eternity, although that's a good thing to do. We will both be in heaven and be down here on the new earth, ruling and reigning with Christ. One crucial question arises is, whom will we rule over? Right? You're curious about that. Right? This has been a subject of speculations and debates, again, because the Bible does not tell us a whole lot about it. But here are some of the speculations that I put together with the help of many Bible scholars, okay? Number one, possibly resurrected Old Testament saints who were not part of the Hall of Faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. That's one of my speculations. Number two, possibly resurrected New Testament saints who do not endure or become overcomers or did not receive any rewards. Okay? There will be people who are without rewards. Okay? Yeah? Number three, resurrected tribulation saints. Now this is, of course, you believe in the premillennial return of Christ with the tribulations and millennial kingdom in the middle and then new heaven and new earth right at the end. Okay? Number four, descendants of believing adults during the millennial kingdom. All right? Now what do I mean by that? There will be, this is probably tied up with number three, okay? So these tribulation saints will survive through the tribulations, will enter into the millennial kingdom, right? Not yet glorified, and they will continue to still give birth to children, and there will still be normal human beings living in the millennial kingdom, right? Of course, then this will apply to the millennial kingdom, right? Not necessarily to the new heaven and new earth. And then lastly, the angels. Do you know that we were made higher than the angels? But not right now, but one day we will rule over angels. All right. Now these are some of the speculations. Again, okay, I'm not trying to be dogmatic about them. And so one thing for sure, we will not be living in the clouds, right? And doing nothing but singing praises to God. Although there's nothing wrong with that. Our home is in heaven, yes, but the Bible also said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. Where? In a new earth. On a new earth. So with the promised new heavens and new earth, I believe we will be spending a lot of time here on the new earth, not just in heaven. Okay? I like what Michael Whitmer says in his book. Quote, heaven is a place on earth. Yeah? When we leave this world, it's just the first leg of the round-trip journey. We were coming back. When Christ returns to earth, he will bring us back with him. And there will be plenty to do in the new heavens and new earth. Okay? So, we have talked about what will we do in heaven. What will we do in heaven? First of all, we will worship. Second, we will fellowship. Third, we will serve. Fourth, we will work. Fifth, we will rule. Now, I'm going to talk about a few things that we will not be doing or what we will not be in heaven. Here's the five things we will not be doing. Okay? First of all, we will not be bored. A lot of people worry that they will be bored in heaven. But there will be no such thing, okay, in heaven. Now, according to one expert, this is how boredom is defined. Boredom generally viewed as an unpleasant emotional state in which the individual feels a pervasive lack of interest in and difficulty concentrating on the current activity. Now, I can assure you that there will be no such thing in heaven as boredom, because there will be no unpleasant emotional state, pervasive lack of interest in or difficulty concentrating on an activity. All bodies will be perfect. So will be our minds will be perfect. Right? Without the influence of sin and corruption. The Bible tells us heaven will be a place of joy and pleasures and delight. We read in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 18, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. And behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy." Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Again, the redeemed will not be simply, floating the clouds, playing music instruments and just singing forever and ever. We will have the new heavens and new earth for us to enjoy throughout eternity. Michael Whitmer writes the following to give us a description of new earth. Quote, now this is the description of new earth, okay? "Houses, vineyards, kings, and wealthy nations, those words signal a world of cultural activity on the new earth. So the new earth will be an exciting, interesting place to be. We will be always growing, not sideways, not growing taller. Growing, always learning more about ourselves, the world, and God." So the growing part is not about growing taller or growing sideways or putting on weight, but growing in knowledge of God and His creation. How wonderful would that be? What would be our lives like on New Earth? Elise Fitzpatrick writes, "Imagine life without boredom, or deadlines, or endings. Imagine a life full of learning and exploration and dominion and strength in life. Imagine work that's satisfying and meaningful and offered gladly for the benefit of others. That's it. Life on the new earth." Now, because there's no death or dying in heaven, we shall come to that in a minute about dying and getting sick. There will be plenty of time for us to do all the things we want to do. As Peter Kreeft writes, "After death, there will be all the time in the world, more than all the time in the world, to learn, to savor, to sink totally into the meaning of everything." Wow. Certainly, we will have new heaven and new earth for us to enjoy throughout all eternity. Surely, it will be exciting as we will be learning more about God and His creation. But the main reason we won't be bored is because of God. Peter Kreeft also writes, "Because we are with God, and God is infinite, we never come to the end of exploring Him. He is new every day. Because we are with God, and God is love, even on earth, the only people we are never bored are lovers." I find this last phrase interesting. Just like when you are dating or courting with your husband or a wife, you never felt bored. Okay? I hope I'm correct. But always exciting to see each other more. And time spent together always seems too short. And you say to yourself, "Ah, I wish time would just stand still so that I could spend more time. In fact, all eternity with my beloved." That is what it will be like in heaven, but a million times more true. Yes, certainly we will have new heaven and new earth for us to enjoy throughout all eternity, and it will be exciting, but people often wonder, Now, this is a very important question, okay? Pay attention here. Especially children asked this question, will there be animals in heaven?
No.
Well, strictly speaking, no. Not in heaven, I guess, but I believe there will be animals on the earth. Okay? Isaiah the prophet speaks of a coming glorious era on earth when the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leper shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The little child's probably 6 or 7 years old. We have one right here. Now, why is this even possible? Because Isaiah 65 verse 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth. All earth is gone, God said. And the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Isaiah 66 verse 22 also said, for as the new heavens and the new earth, now we have to take those literally, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now this is possible because the curse of sin will be lifted. The whole creation will be restored to its perfect state, just like Garden of Eden before the fall. There will be no more sin, no more death, no more suffering. Animals would not be devouring each other. Neither will they be aggressive to men, women, and children. As Isaiah 65 verse 25 says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullocks, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. Serpent will not bite you. Serpent will be eating dust. They shall not hurt the animals, hurt nor destroyed in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. There will be perfect harmony and peace in the creation order. Once again, for those who believe that there will be a millennial kingdom, once again, this would apply, this description applied, you know, in Isaiah will apply to their view. And animals living peacefully together in a millennial kingdom on the old earth first, and then on the new earth in eternity, right? Whereas for those who do not believe in a millennial kingdom, this description will fit to apply in a new earth, on the new earth only. Either way, I believe we will all be seeing animals again. Now, let me make this observation. Let us go back to the passage in Isaiah 11 verse 6. If this passage you read in Isaiah 11, okay? If this passage is to be applied to the new earth in the future, that means we will be seeing some of the redeemed people at children's age. As Isaiah said, a little child shall lead the wild beast to play. And the child is playing with the beast. Now, why is this possible? Well, in another similar passage in Isaiah 65 verse 23, sheds us more light on this. It says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountains, all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. So good news for those who don't get to have pets in this life, right? Because you are going to get plenty of pets. You can even have a lion or a tiger or a bear as your pet. And you will also get to lead them to play with other animals. How wonderful would that be, all right? Now, And who knows, there will be dinosaurs as well. And a wide range of already extinct animals. And then we get to study them again, and all of us are going to be paleontologists, right? You know, experts on extinct creatures. It won't be extinct. It will be revived again, come back alive again, all right? And it will be perfectly safe to be playing with all of them: leopards, lions, tigers, serpents, and dinosaurs. I guess we just have to wait and see what happens. Okay, so will there be animals in heaven? Strictly speaking, no, not in heaven, but on the new earth. Okay. So firstly, it is good to know that you will not be born in heaven and new earth. We will have new heaven and new earth for us to enjoy throughout eternity. It will be an exciting place as we will be learning more about God and His creation, and even animals. Secondly, we will not hurt or be hurt. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "Neither shall there be any more pain." It is good to know that, because we do have a lot of hurting and being hurt here in this life. Though I am still young, but sometimes, right, I feel like a 70-year-old man in the inside. But I have some good news for all of us. There will be no more hurting or sickness or pain in heaven. All of us will be strong as or 100 times stronger or healthier than when we are at our primes. So what will we not be doing? Firstly, we won't be bored. Secondly, we won't get hurt or be hurt. Thirdly, we will not get hungry or thirsty. We read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 16, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirsty no more." That's true. You will not be hungry or thirsty anymore. But will we still be eating and drinking in heaven? Oh, I believe yes. We will still be eating and drinking on new earth, but not so much for sustenance, but for enjoyment. And we will be doing a lot of that on the new earth, which is where the food is going to be, right? On the new earth. The next question is, will we need to eat and drink to survive? As I said, no, not at all. But I think it is possible that we can still enjoy food and drinks. Sorry, no beef steaks, lamb steaks, chili crabs, bird's nest, lobsters. I think we will be purely vegetarians, just like Adam and Eve before the fall. But we will still be, feel hungry, you know. I think maybe, okay, we won't experience the negative effects of hunger or died of hunger and thirst in heaven, because we won't die, okay? But we will still be craving for food and enjoy them in a positive sense. We don't know for sure. These are my pure speculations, because the Bible does not tell us a whole lot about it. So your guess is as good as mine. What we do know for sure is that no one will go hungry or thirsty in a negative sense, or die of thirst or hunger, of needing food or water, or being deprived in new heaven and earth. So, what will we not be doing in heaven? You will not be bored, you will not get hurt or be hurt, or get hungry or thirsty again in heaven. Fourthly, we will not mourn or cry. It is terribly, terribly sad having to say goodbye with our loved ones, family, and relatives. But as we have mentioned, if they die in Christ, we will see them again. God says in Isaiah 65, verse 19, "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. The main reason for this is because no one would ever die again in heaven. We read this in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And Revelation 21 verse 7 says, 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Same verse, says the same thing. Does not mean that we will not be able to cry in heaven. I believe this means that we will not mourn or cry in a negative way. That is, crying from hurt or pain or loss of loved ones. But it is very possible and likely that we will still shed tears. Maybe, for example, shed tears of joy, tears of laughter, or tears of gratefulness to God, or even tears of regret that we wish we could have done more for Christ. Or we wish we could have shared the gospel with someone. After all, we will still retain our earthly memory. After all, not all tears are bad. If it's good and it's possible, either it will be in heaven or something better will be. Again, this is my speculations. So, will we not be doing in heaven? You will not be bored. You will not get hurt or be hurt or get hungry and thirsty. We will not mourn or cry. And fifthly and lastly, we will not sin or die. Hebrews 12 verse 23 says, to the spirits of just men made perfect. One of the great truths of scripture is that we will be perfected in heaven. We will finally be sinlessly perfect. Here on earth, when we trust Christ as Savior, we are saved first from the penalty of sin. Then as we grow in Christ, we are saved more and more from the power of sin. But in heaven, we will be saved even from the very presence of sin. We will not sin, and we will not even desire to sin. Now here is an interesting thing that Robert Peterson says. Resurrected and transformed believers will be as incapable of sinning as they are of undoing Christ's death and resurrection. This is victory indeed. And someone beautifully summarized this four stages of man's relationship to sin. Now listen carefully. In the beginning, man can sin in the Garden of Eden, right? And after that, man, after the fall, without Christ, cannot not sin. Man cannot help the sin. And man in Christ, after salvation, man can not sin. That means man gains the control of not sinning. And then in the future, in glory, man cannot sin. Right? I shouldn't say even if man wants to sin, he could not, because man even would not have that desire wants to sin. Right? But he cannot sin. The traces of sin is completely eradicated. So we will not sin, and therefore we will not die. There is a very interesting description of Isaiah 65 about new heavens and new earth. Isaiah 65 verse 20 says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. How shall we understand this verse from Isaiah in relation to eternity in heaven? Well, for those who believe in the millennial kingdom, again, this has been used to describe longevity of lifespan of those who enter into the millennial kingdom from tribulation and those descendants born during the millennial kingdom. They will still die because they haven't received the glorified body yet, if they believed, but they will still live, and they will live a long life in the almost perfect world during the millennial kingdom. And for those who do not believe in millennial kingdom, the passage in Isaiah 65 are regarded as a poetic way of saying the redeemed will indeed live forever in a new heaven and new earth. Either way, when we all get to heaven and earth, we shall live forever and ever, and we will not die. Conclusion. So, what will we do in heaven? Will we just sit around on the clouds playing harps all day? No. We will worship. We will fellowship. We will serve. We will work. And we will rule. What will we not be doing? We will not be bored. We will not hurt or be hurt. Hunger or thirst. Mourn or cry. Sin or die. Heaven is a perfect place designed for perfect people. Sin and all its consequences will be completely removed. We will enjoy all the good things God intended and none of the bad things that resulted from sin. And dear friends, hell will be a lonely place, full of pain, weeping, and regret. Heaven will be full of worship, people, family, friends, laughter, creativity, productivity, and joy. So, where would you rather be? If your answer is heaven, let me tell you the truth. The only way that you can enter into heaven is by having faith in Jesus Christ. You will need His perfect righteousness to be justified and His blood to wash away your sins. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean? It means to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ means to accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the eternal God, the Son of God, who became man and lived a perfect and sinless life for you. And to believe that God has raised Him from the dead means to believe that He died for the penalty of your sin and rose again on the third day. And if you have done it and sincerely believe from your heart, not only intellectually, you are born again. And I pray that you will do this today before it is too late.